this morning is our Old Testament reading from Jonah chapter 3. You may be seated. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." Growing up, there were plenty of things that I did not want to do. It's not that I was obstinate or stubborn, although there might be some who would disagree with that, but I think it was primarily because I was so painfully shy. Any new situation that I wasn't familiar with would cause me days of stress. I knew that there were things that I needed to do, and yet the thought of them, of just doing them, was simply overwhelming to me. Meeting new people, entering into new situations, talking in front of people. If someone had told me when I was 10 or 12 or even 18 years old that I was going to multiple times a week be speaking in front of people, I would have said that they were absolutely crazy. Yet when God calls, sometimes he's calling us to complete the task that he's assigned us. And sometimes that call is for our own sake, to get past a fear or a hang-up or something else that's holding us back. And likely in the end, in his infinite wisdom, God's calling on our lives both confirms our commitment to him while also bringing the good news to those who need to hear it. The account of Jonah, I'm sure, is one that we all know fairly well. At least the part about the prophet who doesn't want to do what he's being asked to do, who runs away and who ends up getting swallowed by a great fish and then spit up on the shoreline. We know that part of the account, right? What's probably a little less well known is the rest of what happens in the book of Jonah. The fact that Jonah's experience leads him to heed God's call and do the very thing that he tries so hard to avoid. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah is given a second chance to do what God has for him to do. And with that chance, he sees great success as the people of Nineveh repent and turn from their wicked ways and turn toward the Lord. Maybe even less well known, though, is the anger that Jonah then feels at the fact that God has spared these wicked people, these Ninevites. That's anger for which Jonah then is harshly rebuked by God. I think Jonah was a lot like me as a kid. Hesitant, wary, probably a little bit of an overanalyzer, I'm guessing. Reluctant to jump into something new for fear of how it might go. Jonah didn't choose to be a prophet. God called him. God chose him. And when that call came, Jonah desperately wanted to avoid it. Our text for this morning focuses on Jonah's second call after that encounter with the great fish, after he tries to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly can think that there is, go to Tarshish. And it focuses on where Jonah heeds the Lord's calling. And our text today shows the success that a faithful servant can have when they actually do follow the will of God, even as Jonah is called to the very place that he so desperately wants to avoid. I think we all can relate to Jonah. Think in your lives, is there not a place that you desperately want to avoid? That place that you just simply don't want to go. That thing that you'd rather not do. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we all have our own Nineveh. That place, that thing in our Christian calling that we try to avoid at all costs. For me as a youth, it was going door to door. Probably that's a common fear for lots of people, but for me, it was absolutely debilitating. I had to do it for scouts. We had to sell things, and so it would go door to door to try to raise money for our troop. But even harder than that was the time that my high school Sunday school teacher decided that it would be a good idea to take us out into the neighborhood behind the church and knock on doors and simply invite people to church. People I had never met, people I didn't know in a town that I wasn't familiar with. Just go knock on doors and invite them. My goodness, I vividly recall the uncertainty and even fear that I felt walking up to those houses, just desperately hoping and praying that no one would answer the door so that I could just hang that door hanger on the doorknob and walk away without having to interact with anybody. That's what I felt. That same feeling came over me when my seminary professor announced that we were going to go canvassing a local neighborhood for my evangelism class. By the time that I was, 40, 42 years old, I was a little bit less hesitant, and yet it still, I felt that fear come over me. That experience went a whole lot better than the first one. Nobody hid behind their curtains or couldn't hear anybody locking their doors that time, and we actually had a little bit of success. But I still wonder at times if the calling that God has placed on my life is meant as much for me to grow as it is to share the good news of Christ with others. It certainly was exactly that for Jonah. It was as much for Jonah as it was for the people of Nineveh. And it is for each of us as we strive to figure out what our Nineveh is and how we might respond to God's call to go there. Because whatever it is for us, our Nineveh is going to be a frightening place. The Nineveh, the one that Jonah was called to go and preach to, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, one of the most violent and cruel empires ever in the history of the entire world. And God determined that it was into this corrupt culture that Jonah needed to go. And not just go there, but to proclaim to that evil city that God was planning to destroy them. It's really not all that hard to see the parallels between Jonah's mission and the ones that God places us in today, the missions that he sends us out on. Just look around, and it would seem everywhere the eye can see is filled with corruption, evil, and a fleeing from God and his ways. Even in this, though, we are called, as Jonah was, to speak the truth of God that he desires not the death of his people, but he desires salvation. God desires for us to speak the truth that God doesn't want his people to live in this way that he sees them living. Violence, debauchery, lying, and all other manner of evil that surrounds us is not God's way. And we are called not to ignore it, not to run the other way, but to confront it head on. Just thinking about it and just saying those words brings back a flood of that fear and anxiety from my youth. And I imagine, I can see how your faces have changed just in the last moment or so, that probably for many of you it brings that on too. Is God really calling me to confront evil? Is God really calling me to speak the truth to people? Maybe even people that I don't know? Yes, he is. If we're to be like Jonah, we need to recognize the mission is not one just for today. It's not just for this week, but it's a mission that's going to last our entire lifetime as we share the gospel with people who are more and more opposed to that message. In our text, we heard that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. This was no just one-off for Jonah. He had to go in there. He had to dig in. He had to get dirty to spread this message to the Ninevites. It was a challenge. Jonah didn't have the luxury of a car or even a megaphone to get him all into all corners of that city. He didn't have a television station that could beam that message into people's homes. Going into the city, our text tells us, going a day's journey, he had to go into all corners of that city, exposed to the dangers of the people who didn't want to hear what he had to say. It was a totally unpopular message, but he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." Over and over again throughout that city, Jonah had to proclaim that message to the people, unsure of what it would mean for his very life and what the people of Nineveh might do to silence him. What's so amazing about this account is the very same thing that's incredible about our own callings to preach the law and the gospel. We can't know at the outset what the response or the reaction is going to be. God knows exactly what's going to happen, and yet we don't. When the Lord's message and not our own is preached, we're told that his word is not going to return void. It has the power to work, and it will work in ways and at times that we just can't understand. Jonah could not have dreamed that this message of destruction that he was proclaiming to the Ninevites would be received in the way that it would. I'm sure Jonah thought that there's no way that he would even make it out of the city of Nineveh, speaking the message given to him by God was all that it took for those Ninevites to repent. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. And what's more than that, this posture of repentance that they get themselves into, what's more than that is that the king of Nineveh knew that these outward acts would be fruitless without true repentance. So he commands them not to just put on the sackcloth, not to just sit in the ashes. He commands that everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. What the king didn't fully understand at that time was the great grace of God. He was hoping, he was wishing that God might possibly relent. He says, "Who knows? God may turn and relent from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." Those of us who know God's great grace know that when we do repent, and not just show outward acts, but truly repent in our hearts and turn from our wicked ways, that God can do nothing other than relent from the destruction. God will show us his grace. He will show us his mercy. When the Lord calls his people to repentance, he doesn't desire the death of the sinner, but he desires to draw the sinner to eternal life. It would be very easy for us to just simply write off those who we see as beyond God's grace, those we see as the epitome of evil. But God just won't do it, because there is no one who is beyond his grace. It would be much easier for us anyway if we were only called to bring the gospel to those who were readily inclined to hear it. But God wants that message proclaimed to everyone. And when that message is proclaimed, people will repent. People will turn from their wicked ways and they will turn to the Lord. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And just as God's grace is sufficient for everyone who lived in Nineveh at that time, God's grace is sufficient for everyone in the Ninevehs that he calls us to. And his grace is sufficient for you and for me. The Lord sent Jonah into the midst of Nineveh to bring them to repentance. And he sends his people today, you and me, even into the darkest and most rebellious of places. And he does so so that we might proclaim the message that he sent his very own son into the world to secure salvation for all who repent and believe. Turning from our wicked ways to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. This world and everyone in it is fallen and hurting. We're no different than the city of Nineveh that Jonah was sent to. And we have a God who loves us just as much as he loved the people of that fallen city, who desires his message of grace and mercy to be proclaimed and wants his people to hear it and turn from their ways. As much as we've heard and we know this message, we need to be reminded of it every single day. And once we've heard that message, we need then to listen and hear. What Nineveh is it that God is sending you to? There are places to which you and I might not want to go. And there are times when we're not going to want to proclaim that message of law or even the great proclamation of the gospel. But the Lord will keep calling, just as he did with Jonah, calling us to places just as broken and hurting as that ancient city of Nineveh, because he cares so deeply for each of his precious children. And his plan of salvation calls for each of us to heed his call and bring this message to many. So, figure out what your Nineveh is and go there. Do the things that you don't want to do. Go where you don't want to go. Go to the place where your comfort zone is going to be most tested, where you'll experience a little bit of that stress as you're called to God's service. These are the places where you can be assured that God will be with you, not allowing you to stumble, but holding up your hands, being your voice, and strengthening your spirit as you do his will. Arise, go to Nineveh. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.